This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Picture that super soft t-shirt you love sleeping in. The one that gets softer and softer the more you wear it. Now you can bring that same lived-in softness to your entire bed with Signature Vintage Wash Sheets from Boll & Branch. This all-new collection is even softer than your favorite t-shirt, with a distinctly relaxed look and feel for your best night's sleep. Just like all Boll & Branch bedding, Signature Vintage Wash Sheets start with the highest quality, 100% organic cotton. The lived and feel comes from a small batch washing process, creating a level of softness you've never felt before. And it's not just the feel. Boll & Branch mastered the laid-back aesthetic using a special technique that creates the well-loved look you'll find with vintage jeans. And true to the Boll & Branch hallmark, Signature Vintage Wash Sheets get softer and softer with every wash. Right now, you can get 15% off your first order with promo code ODYSSEY and save on their most relaxing sheets. So head to BollAndBranch.com today. That's B-O-L-L and Branch.com.
You better you bet on Radio.com and the Radio.com app.
All right, welcome back to You Better You Bet right here on the BetQL Audio Network. Mark Melusis in for Nick Costos and Ken Barkley, of course. A little miscommunication with John Rothstein from CBS Sports College Hoops Insider. He apologizes. Could not join Ken and myself tonight. He'll join us on another night right here on You Better You Bet. John's great. Let's do a little NBA here, Ken. Anything in the futures NBA market that strikes your fancy?
Yeah, and it's such an interesting time to bet NBA futures. And Tyler, first of all, we got to give Moose's conventional host spot back. Let's flip flop the pictures here. Thank you very much.
There you go.
Moose deserves left side treatment. Let's be honest.
This is the primary host of the show. Thank you, Ken.
Yeah, of course. Yeah, we got to keep some people in line here. Maybe a little bit more than we're doing already. We'll see. And you know, with NBA futures, I think, you know, we're at, it's not like a pivot point necessarily, but in a traditional season, I think you could make an argument that like 25 games into a season, 25 to 30 games into an 82 game season, you know, basically everything that you would need to know to figure out what will happen. Like for the most part, there's an injury that can happen with the Warriors. We had late season injuries. Like there's always, you know, obviously at any moment something can happen, but for the, as terms of like a macro kind of broad approach, it literally doesn't take very long to learn what's going to happen. This year, I think, is a little different. I think the compression in the Western Conference, the amount of punting of games that's happening means we're probably going to have to wait a little longer, even though the season's shorter, to know what's going on. Like we still haven't seen a full version of Dallas. We really haven't seen a full version of Philly, except for more than like two games. We haven't seen a full version of Boston for a game, period. We haven't seen Washington play forever, but they can't win. We haven't seen a full version of Portland at all, and we're probably not for some time. And so we haven't seen a full version of Denver, save for maybe the first few games of the season. Because of that, still like a lot of unanswered questions. I think rather than seeing that ripple effect in the kind of title market, because the teams at the top are playing like the teams at the top, the Bucks, you know, are playing at an elite level. The Lakers are playing at an elite level. I think in the MVP market, that's where you actually see things get the most interesting, just in terms of like, you know, where should guys be priced? And usually, even at this point in the season, I feel like usually we would have much more clarity on the ordering of players, what the right prices should be. So I think one challenge this season is, even with this many games under our belt, you know, we're talking about like 15 games now for, you know, we're getting that milestone for each team. Okay, like usually through 15, like I can have some idea who the number one seed's going to be in each conference, or have some clarity about that. And then the next 15 will gain a little more. But I don't feel like we almost have any beyond just the Lakers are going to be really good. I mean, short of the Lakers and that they will finish with an excellent regular season record this year, Moose, you know, like if you had to, okay, so we have this giant tier of teams behind the Lakers, and not all of them are equal, but for this conversation, we'll make them equal. So you have Milwaukee, Brooklyn, Philly, Boston on one side, Indiana, if you want to throw them in. And then on the other side, you have the Clippers, Denver, Golden State now. And, you know, Portland, we probably kick out of there. Utah would be another great one. Like, of that giant, I mean, that's, I just named like 10 teams. Of which one do you feel the most confident in having a great regular season record, even based on kind of what we're seeing right now, where very few of them do? Who would you kind of go to bat for? Like, I'm the most confident that that team's going to have a good record when we get past the Lakers.
When I get past the Lakers, who I think is going to be the most consistent team?
Like, who's going to finish with the second best record in the league this year?
No, I get it. No, I know where you're going. I'm thinking. Sure. I actually might side with Doc and the Philadelphia 76ers.
Really? That's an interesting answer. What makes you come up with Philly there?
Well, you know why I come up with Philly? Number one is you got the coaching change, right? You've got Embiid and Simmons. They're both very, very motivated. You've got an aggressive general manager in Daryl Morey, who was in on James Harden, who I think if there is a way to improve that team as it goes along here before the NBA trade deadline, which is what, the 25th of March, I believe it is, when you look at the NBA trade deadline. So I'm looking at Philadelphia, even because I don't know what I'm going to get from Brooklyn. I'm not doubting that they can't win a title. But if you're asking me which team do I think I can squeeze the most out of in the regular season, I would probably side with Philadelphia. I know it would be a little bit of a strange answer, but I kind of like the 76ers. I've got questions about Boston with Kemba Walker staying healthy the entire year. I've got questions about usage when I look at the Brooklyn Nets and the lack of quality depth there. I know the Bucks are the Bucks, but I'll tell you that I think the Philadelphia 76ers, with the coaching change, with the new general manager, with an aggressive GM, with two highly motivated younger players for the most part in Embiid and Simmons, I'd side with Philadelphia.
That was not an answer that I was expecting necessarily, and where I was going. But I'm really glad that you took a kind of a unique angle, because I think if you asked 100 people this question, I mean, you would get 100 different answers, but I think you get a very diverse set of answers and reasonable support for a number of different teams. And my point would just be, frequently, regular season MVP in the NBA is given to, it's a player accomplishment award, obviously. Like, you have to have statistics that matter. I mean, guy like Westbrook won on an 8 seed getting a triple double. So clearly it's a player accomplishment award, but that's really the outlier. And what is also the strongest predictor, in addition to player performance, is elite, like best in the league level team performance. And when you try to compare what you think the season is going to be to the MVP market right now, I mean, there's no it looks like you're following two different seasons. I mean, we have a season where it's literally like Lakers, Clippers, Utah, you know, and then basically like a drop off to several other teams. There's a couple other ones in the mix. Brooklyn won 4 in a row. These teams have pockets of good performance. Milwaukee. And then I look at the futures market and regular season MVP, and Luka's the favorite. And Nikola Jokic is basically the second choice alongside Durant. And Steph Curry is 5th. And Damian Lillard is 7th. And I'm like, what? And James Harden is 8th, which is, I mean, please just don't insult my intelligence by thinking that he should be the 8th choice. But, you know, that's what makes it so interesting, is like, because we have no clarity in a condensed season with condensed records about maybe who the best team is going to be, there's been like very little adjustment in the MVP market, because it's like, well, we don't know anything yet, so why would we change anything? And I think that's very interesting, because if you could get it right, so if you think it's Philly, for example, you think Philly is the most likely, maybe not likely, but the most likely compared to the other teams to have the second best record. Joel Embiid is like 9-1 in a couple places to win MVP right now, 8-1 to win MVP in a couple places. Along with the Lakers, they would be the most likely team to provide you with an MVP candidate. So there's sort of like a correlation here in terms of, not that there is like a locked in, this bet is valuable no matter what kind of thing, but like, if you can critical think your way through, okay, it hasn't happened yet, but which other team could potentially ascend to go alongside the Lakers? Should I bet on that team's best player to win MVP? Like, that provides an interesting kind of entry point into maybe making a bet. And you have two choices, right? It's either, I don't think there's a team like that, and the Lakers are going to be far and away the best team, in which case I fail to see how LeBron at 6-1 is not a valuable bet. Because if there's only one elite team, he's winning, spoiler alert. Even if he averages 26-8-8, and it's not even like his best statistical season, if they're 15 games better than the next team, realistically like 8 or 9 games better than the next team, then like he wins, and it becomes almost a team accomplishment at that point. Like, in the craziest season ever, the best player rose to the occasion and they achieved like a historic winning percent. Again, like, there's a way this still plays out when there's no other viable narrative, and the guy who's won twice in a row basically can't win again, because I think no one's going to vote for him, which is Giannis. So like, that's interesting. If you think it's the Nets and they can win enough, and they just lost last night, then like, that makes Durant really interesting. So it's not, Moose, like, I think you know, I would go to war with one guy where it's valuable. Yeah. But I think if you can answer that initial question, right, who is the second best team in the league going to be at the end of the year? There has to be some kind of correlation between that and a valuable MVP bet.
No, fair, fair. But the problem I have with that, and I think it's interesting logic, then, and it's a good conversation, Ken. The problem I have is I'd rather bet LeBron at 6-1 than Joel Embiid at 9-1.
No question. Well, you're picking, there's two doors, right? You're saying, give me door number one, which is there's no team that's going to challenge the Lakers for best record. Therefore,
right.
LeBron becomes valuable alongside everyone else.
Well, that's the point that I look at there, right? So sure. Like I kind of look at it, even though, you know, James Harden, as you mentioned, was what, seventh or eighth favorite to win MVP. Yep. You know, I look at those three, and I think the guy that's going to get the most burn would be Durant because of what Durant is represented. And he would be the guy that I'd be most comfortable going with if I'm going to pick a Brooklyn Net. I'm not going to pick James Harden. It's not knocking James Harden a player. And I would never take Kyrie Irving. I just look at it as being Durant being the guy, right? So,
sure. And
it's interesting when you mention LeBron James, there's, amazingly enough, there is value with him, right? When we were, you know, I'm a little bit older than you, Ken. Right, but when we were growing up, you know, you could have given Michael the MVP every year, right? I mean, Karl Malone didn't have to win the MVP. He was the best player in the world. And I know now with the age of LeBron James, you could make a debate that Kevin Durant's the best player or this guy. Kevin Durant coming back off the torn Achilles, showing himself healthy. I've seen a number of NBA analysts say that. But LeBron's always in the conversation. You know, LeBron's always there. They are going to have... You know, the MVP is strange, even though you had the outlier year where you look at Westbrook, because his stats that year were just utterly ridiculous, and averaging a triple-double, and Oscar Robertson. I mean, all of that he accomplished that year, you know, Russ had set himself apart. But it's really, as you mentioned, there is a correlation between quality team and MVP of the league, where, you know, you're not going to get a guy winning an MVP of the league, even though he might be statistically great, if that team finishes at... you know, 500 or the eighth. I mean, it's very, very rare that does happen. It has happened, but it's rare that I wouldn't feel comfortable laying money on it. So it's usually one of the upper echelon teams with one of the better players on the team. We've seen it with Giannis. We've seen it with, obviously, Kevin Durant at Oklahoma City. We've seen it with LeBron James over and over. So, you know, I think there is value with LeBron James at 6-1. You know, and even though I like Philadelphia and they're sitting now with a 10-5 record through the first 15 games of the NBA regular season, I wouldn't be comfortable right now playing Joel Embiid at 9-1. I'd feel a lot more comfortable, even though I think Philadelphia is going to have a good year. For everything that I mentioned before, I would just be more comfortable of taking LeBron at 6-1.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify is here to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. From their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system, wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify's got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 15% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. And sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. And Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning 24/7 help is there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odyssey podcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odyssey podcast now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. shopify.com/odyssey podcast.
Yeah, I think faced with, you know, a lot of options that maybe we don't like a ton of other players, I think that's, it's possible that that is the approach. And I'll throw something else at you that can maybe help us come to a conclusion here before we take a break for the power hour, which is the framing of the MVP award. I mentioned team quality matters a lot. And here's something else. I throw this out on the show all the time. I believe it's something like, so it's 2021, the last 45 years, something like that, because this is only as far back as I could find MVP voting. There were only three instances where the player who won the award did not finish in the top 10 the year before in voting. And it speaks to this idea of like upward arcs for careers, right? Where it's like, you don't just win. You have to like come in seventh. Then you have to come in third. Then you have to be like the runner up. And then you win. You look at LeBron and Durant and Curry and all these guys, like you don't just come out of nowhere and win. And usually we have to kind of, you have to be in the national consciousness as being this elite player before you can actually win the award. Even if you're the best player, you still have to be in that conversation for a year or whatever, and until you can actually win the award. So, you know, if we further frame this by re-examining the top 10 finishers in last year's MVP voting, and this is not like a lock. Again, like Derrick Rose happened, he won the MVP. Steve Nash happened, he won the MVP. These are guys who did not play well the year before. It's another kind of interesting framing, though, of when we look at last year, Giannis obviously won back-to-back MVPs. I think it is literally impossible he can win the award again. I think they're short of averaging like 40, 18, and 16. There's like almost nothing that he can do. And I don't think his team is going to finish with like, you know, the most wins by like a factor of, you know, eight or something, or like by a margin of eight where he could win. Okay, so if I'm saying he can't win, LeBron was the runner-up last year with the Lakers. He is averaging a very similar statistical stat line in points and rebounds. He's just trailing in assists. He averaged more than 10 assists last year. That was like the sell of him was like, oh my God, he's actually like the best point guard now. And, you know, but statistical profile, not all that different. Guy came in second last year. James Harden finished in third. I think it is almost impossible he can win the award. In fact, I think it is impossible that he can win the award already because of the damage that he's done to his reputation with what he did early in the season. Luka finished in fourth, and that's part of the reason why he's still the favorite, is that there's this belief like Dallas is 7-7 right now. Okay, like when guys finally come off the COVID list and guys get healthy and Porzingis just came back, can they rattle off a string of games that gets him back in the conversation? But like, he's the favorite, and that's a big assumption. So like, it's you know, we already come down the list. Kawhi is fifth. I don't think he's going to play enough games again to ever win. Now, can he come in the top five again? Yes. Clippers could have the best record. I don't think they can produce an MVP candidate. Anthony Davis is sixth. Okay, now we start to get into this him and LeBron conversation. Chris Paul was seventh. I don't think he can win. I don't think his usage is going to be high enough. Like, they're going to be really good, which makes it interesting. But, like, he's not even the candidate on the team. They don't have one because Booker and Ayton and him are all going to kind of split accolades. Lillard's an eighth. They're never going to win enough. Jokic is ninth. Matt Moore from the Action Network came on this past week and said this is the buy point on Jokic, who I think is in that kind of 8-1, 10-1 bundle of, I see him at 600 right now, actually in one place, where it's like, okay, they might start to put together a streak of games. They get Porter back tonight, tomorrow night, I think. Where, okay, maybe he's the guy. But that's just, it's so interesting. And then Pascal Siakam, 10th, a one in a quadrillion chance he could even snip the award this year. So, like, okay, Durant didn't play last year. There's all kinds of wrinkles to this, right? Curry didn't play last year. These guys missed games. It's not like they were bad. But even further framing it through that of like, you got to be in the national, there just aren't any guys here that like can win. It's like so unrealistic. So what happens when like no one's good enough, right? What happens when no one, you know, like emerges as we have expected? What happens when Luka, they just don't win enough. Damian Lillard and the Blazers, they just don't win enough. Jokic and the Nuggets, everyone's hitting 58% of their games.
But here's
the
deal,
and the Clippers give you no viable candidate. What happens in that situation?
Well, right. But here's the deal that further kind of emphasizes why I like LeBron even against 6-1, even though he's not the favorite, is I know what I'm getting for LeBron James. And there were people a year ago that thought LeBron should have been the MVP of the league. And he did finish second to Giannis in Milwaukee. But there were a lot of people, you mentioned it, the tick up in assist and averaging 10 assists per game. So I look at LeBron, I know what I'm getting LeBron James. You're right about Harden. Aside from what he just did in Houston, I just don't think with being on the team with Durant and Kyrie, I don't think James Harden is going to be the reason why. It's going to be Durant and Durant's, unless Kevin Durant goes down to injury, which could happen. We've seen him get banged up before in the past. That's why I look at LeBron is actually, amazingly enough, having value. Yeah. Luka, there's too much unknown. I would never bet Luka. You told me that I was getting 7 or 8 to 1 on Luka. Then I could understand that. 5 to 1, 6 to 1 on Luka. I would never bet Luka right now to be the MVP of the league. And I think that has a lot to do with why he's the betting favorite. based on everything we watched down in Orlando and in the bubble. And he's an unbelievable young player. There's no question. And he finished fourth in the MVP voting last year. But if I'm looking for value, there's no value right there with Luka. There's no value I would look like at Damian Lillard, because I just can't envision Damian Lillard having the kind of year to supersede and get over where he needs to go. He's a really good player. He's not the best player in the league. And as long as LeBron is upright and healthy and playing basketball, I look at LeBron James and I know it drives him. He's got an inner fire to him to perform and give it to you each and every night when he is on the court. That's what makes him such a ridiculous player. That's what makes him a guy that's been able to carry his brilliance on. So it's almost like he's undervalued looking at where he is in the MVP market right now when you're betting NBA futures.
Right. It's, I mean, what's more likely, him winning or Giannis winning, LeBron winning by a factor of 100 compared to, because we know atrophy that happens with guys who win MVP awards. Like Giannis almost can't win. He's like contractually precluded from winning, basically, is how this year is going to play out. Like if Doncic is almost averaging a triple double right now, if they were the 8 seed and he averaged that and Giannis was playing for the best team in the league, Luka would win. That's the kind of year it is. Like Giannis cannot win. It's like impossible. So like, first of all, that's great because it sucks money out of the market where it's like the prices all stay more stable because Giannis is perceived as having a chance to win when he cannot, which is awesome because that creates value potentially on other players if you can figure out who they are. But yeah, I think you're kind of left with a couple options here, you know, for people who are trying to spin this in the next couple weeks, and we'll see how the season plays out. The Lakers are the best team by far, and it's Lakers, Clippers, and Utah in this bundle right now. But looking at the rest of the year, like the Lakers and the Clippers seem very likely to have the best record in the league. The Clippers are unlikely to have a viable candidate. So it's option one is it's Lakers, Clippers, giant gap, everyone else, in which case I think it's likely that LeBron James wins, or it's at least he is the most likely to win, is probably the best way of putting it in that situation. It's probably him versus like the craziest Luka statistical season possible, and they have to make the playoffs.
And he could have that. And Luka could have that.
100%. Yep.
But here's the deal, Ken. Are you willing to bet on that with him being the betting favorite? That's where I don't look at Luka as being
the thing. Yep.
I mean, are you willing? And he could have that kind of a year. But if the Lakers finish the year with the best regular season and they have the best record, and LeBron statistically is where you expect LeBron to be, Can you envision him not getting the necessary votes, even if Luka has a ridiculous year with the Dallas Mavericks? It's hard for me to envision that path, that avenue, where Luka on a Maverick team that's not a top three team in the Western Conference overcoming the edge that LeBron already has.
Right. And so I think the answer in that situation is no. And a lot of it is dependent on how many games LeBron plays. I think Luka's going to literally play as much as humanly possible because they need him to make the playoffs. But you know, that's part of it. LeBron sits a bunch of games. Luka continues to play this well. He wins. But like, the problem with guys like Jokic and Lillard and Embiid is like, Durant has such a leg up in this situation, and LeBron has such a leg up in this situation because they're in the public eye all the time, and their team is in the public eye all the time. And like, that matters. Like, it does. It just matters. And like, Giannis was able to overcome that because he was new. And like, he was new and insane, and they were also the best team in their conference, and from a record standpoint, the best team in the league. None of those guys are going to be that. Like, that's how Giannis won, really. Like, he was insane statistically, and they won a million games. Like, Doncic can be insane statistically, but they're not going to win a million games. So I do think it sets up as like an interesting thing going forward. Like, when do we start to see market shifts? You know, it's going to be based on results that happen. If the Nets rattle off a bunch of games, Durant becomes the clear favorite to win the award. And, you know, if the Nets finish with a similar record to the Lakers, I think Durant wins the award a lot of the time. So I really think it's like you can almost already narrow this down in a kind of an interesting way where, you know, it's LeBron a good amount of the time in almost all permutations. It's Luka, I think, a small amount of the time. And you need a very specific set of results. You need the Lakers to not be amazing. You need the Nets to not be very good. I think those two things in combination are unlikely, honestly. And those are the stipulations, I think, for him to win, because otherwise Durant wins or LeBron wins. And then you have this kind of dynamic of like, is there someone that we're not talking about that still has a chance, even though we've already played 15 to 20% of the season? Tough to not be on the radar right now and do that, even though it's been a weirdo start of the year. Like, still kind of tough for Curry to overcome that, I think, and for them to win enough. Tough for Lillard for sure to do it. Almost impossible. Like, that's it feels like, even though it's wide open, and how I started being like, I don't know who the second best team is, feels so wide open. It's also a very, very restricted list, I think, already. Even if we don't know who it's going to be, it's like, how many guys, like in the pool right now, how many guys are in the pool who have any chance to win? It's game 15 or 16 or whatever.
Well, right.
How many guys have any chance, right? Like five? Like six?
That's it.
I mean, Luka has some chance. Not zero.
Yeah.
Right?
Right, Kevin but Durant, I would say, right, I mean, Ken, as we're going through this conversation, I mean, right now, you know, you'd put it at LeBron, Durant, Luka, and then there's a separation.
Sure. I don't even know who I would have fourth. Maybe Curry in that situation, actually. Just because, like, I think that there is, like, a narrative that can be generated if they're really good again. They beat the Lakers the other night, which was more about the Lakers didn't try very hard for the fourth quarter of that game, but... you know, but Curry was not even that good, but he's been, you know, good. I don't think but he's been good. There's a narrative that can be narrative drives. Cause again, voting narrative is going to drive some of the award conversation when voting is involved. Like there's a way Curry wins. He's in the pool, but it's Luka Durant, LeBron, Curry. And then like, I think there's a question about whether anyone else can be in the pool, even right now. Like, I don't think Giannis can be in the pool. I actually think it's honestly impossible.
Here's the other thing that works against Giannis is not just where the Bucks are or what statistically he can do, but you do know this. People are going to look at it, well, should Giannis really win three straight MVPs in the NBA?
It makes it impossible. Like, I think it's atrophy. We're tired of this. And when NBA voters get tired, like, there's... In every great player's career, there's a noticeable arc, and LeBron is breaking that because he's like the best player of all time, almost from an achievement standpoint in the regular season, where if you take LeBron aside because he's his own thing, look at every other instance of like a top 75 to 100 player in the history of the NBA, they have an arc. It doesn't last very long from an MVP standpoint, right? So like finish fifth, finish third, second, like maybe three straight wins, usually one, sometimes two. And then there's like a noticeable, like we get tired of it. And you mentioned it with Jordan. It was the same thing with Shaq. It was same thing with LeBron early in history. Again, like we have examples throughout history of just, we all get tired of this shit. And so like, that's where we are with Giannis right now. I don't think he's in the pool. So like, if he's not in the pool, like Jokic is like, I think an argument to be had about whether he is, like the pool is like five guys already. Like it's insane. And if I offered you, and I know we're going past 6 o'clock, I mean, there's not a lot of NBA tonight, but we would do the power hour here in a little bit. If I offered you a bet right now, I just want to reframe this as a different betting market. Yeah. If I offered you Durant or LeBron wins MVP and I gave you plus 240, would you bet it?
I would.
I would too. and you could just create that bet right now, by the way. Just bet both for the, you know, you equal out the to win amounts.
Yeah.
And that's a bet. Again, that's not a bet that exists like you click one button and you have it.
No, right, right.
Create that bet right now.
I would, because I think it's going to come down to either one of those two. I think with the Brooklyn Nets, even with their result last night, they're not going to be that the rest of the season. And we talked about the consistency with LeBron, Ken. I would make that bet. I would take plus 240. You give me LeBron or Kevin Durant to win the MVP of the league, and you're giving me plus 240, I'd make that bet any day of the week and twice on Sunday.
Right. And it's not that it can't lose, because if it was, you know, if it couldn't lose, we'd be talking about like,
I just like my odds of winning.
Right. Correct. Like Luka still wins sometimes. But he doesn't win enough to like the price you're paying and the price you're getting on the guys. Like, yeah, Luka wins, and he probably, again, like plus 400, the implied probability that happens. Like, he probably wins about that amount of the time, but these other guys don't, and that's where the value comes from, right? Like, there's still value in the market, like an implied percentage that Damian Lillard wins MVP. There's an implied percentage that Tatum wins MVP, that Trae Young wins MVP, which by the way is impossible, cannot happen. There's an implied percentage that James Harden wins MVP, which I think is impossible. Implied percentage that Jaylen Brown wins MVP, which I think is impossible. Implied percentage that Paul George wins MVP, which I think voters would rather turn in the voting card than vote for Paul George to win MVP. So like, if that's true, then the money has to go somewhere. Like, it's just nothing. Something's incongruent. Something doesn't fit. And I think the point of this conversation is not necessarily that you and I know what the valuable bet is, but it seems like there's one there, or at least you can kind of critical think your way to probably making a pretty good bet in the MVP market right now.
Agreed. Totally agree. Good discussion. Good topic. And we'll see how the MVP race does play out, especially when the way the NBA regular season is, as quirky as it has been up until this point in time, where you start to get consistency, players playing, and teams playing up to the expectations coming into the year. We got the Power Hour coming your way straight ahead. We'll get into college hoops, get into the NBA, take a look at the slate for both college basketball and the National Basketball Association. You're listening to You Better You Bet. I'm Mark Melusis. I'm in for Nick Costos here on this Thursday. Ken Barkley, of course. But you're listening to You Better You Bet right here on the BetQL Audio Network.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.